Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Atlanta! We're going to the World Series. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. I hope you feel as good as we do today, because it should feel great to be an Atlanta sports fan right now. And we've waited a long time to see our Braves back in the World Series, Mike Bell. 22 years since we were back in this thing. And we're not just in it, guys. We're going to win it, right? We're going to go try to win this thing. This is not just, hey, we got there. Last year, Mike, we felt like we should have gotten there. We came up short. This year, we get past the Dodgers. Man, let's go win this thing.
Right. And again, you could look at all the Braves teams with Tom Glavine and Maddox and all that stuff. Smoltz, Carl, you had so many great teams and 90-win teams, and who cares how you know what your record is? This team has been the most consistently clutch team since the All-Star break, since the trade deadline went down. This team has been so money. So why not, brother? Why not us, man? I know the Astros on paper, they're a monster team. Their numbers, how many runs they've scored in, what, 10 games, 67 runs. They're a machine. I know you know Dusty Baker. But, hey, man, I'll take our chances, brother. Just like if you can beat the Dodgers and the Brewers, we can beat the Astros.
No doubt, guys. And I got to tell you, this weekend was just really cool for so many reasons. I don't know where you took this in. I don't know how you absorbed it, whether you were at the game at Truist Park or whether you were at home watching, whether you were at friends, you know, their place. It doesn't matter where you took it in. It just feels so damn good, Mike. And it, you know what? We're going to party like it's 1999. We're going back to the World Series, baby.
Right. Just hopefully a better result than we had in 1999.
And I hope that's true, too. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We've got plenty to chop up today. And, yes, we will spend a lot of time, not only today, but throughout the week, talking about leading up to Game 1 tomorrow and throughout the rest of the week, guys. We don't get our first home game until Friday. And then we get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which is great because we know the ballpark will be packed. We know everybody, you know, these are World Series tickets. They're not hard to, or not easy to come by, should I say. Right. But we know that our fan base is going to be out and about. And I've seen more Brave stuff already, Mike, over the last 24 hours. I'm in the supermarket shopping, minding my own business. I had my Braves hat on, and the lady's like, go Braves! It's just that connection that happens when your team is successful like this.
Yeah, and it was funny because a lot of Falcon fans that came down to Miami, like I did, also brought their Braves gear. So when I was at the airport today, there were a lot of guys down at Fort Lauderdale wearing Braves hats, and it was kind of funny. You give the nod, you know, give the nod. But it's great, man. It's just the energy. And I was in a sports bar in Fort Lauderdale on Saturday night, and, you know, everybody was kind of, you know, just hoping for a good game down there, right? But, Carl, let's give some credit to Snicker. Because, you know, you and I know, like, I'm probably more guilty of it than you are, of, you know, just sometimes killing this guy. And anytime you watch a team over an entire season, you know, you obviously you're too close to it, right? And you're familiar. Well, I didn't like this. I didn't like that. He's been pushing all the right buttons. I mean, you know, a big risk to take Ian Anderson out early, get the pinch hitter. Pinch hitter does his job, and then you get a three-run homer, right? I mean, so you really got to give credit where credit's due, because he's been on fire with his decision-making. And again, it's not as, like, analytical as the Dodgers. He goes mostly by his gut, but it works.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, you know, for some people, and I'm not talking about you, Mike. I'm just saying, generally speaking, for baseball fans, it's easy to criticize the manager because he's really the face during the season as you have these interchanging parts. But for Snicker, who is, you know, this story is more about him as it is, you know, or just about as much as him as it is this team. A guy that spent his entire career basically in the farm leagues. You know, basically in the minor leagues, never knowing whether he'd get a shot to be a big league manager. And when he does, Then you, by the way, here, we're going to give you a team, but we're going to give you a team while we're rebuilding, okay? We're going to hand you a team that has young players, and we don't expect to do too much, and you probably won't be here by the time we get good. That's really what the expectation was for Brian Snicker when he took over. And look at what he's done. Look at what he's done. We've done nothing but win divisions. Now we've been back-to-back NLCSs, and now we're in a World Series. So, Mike, yeah, lots of credit. But I said this during the season right after the trade deadline. I said the pressure's on Snit now. He didn't have the tools to make the decisions a manager should be able to make when – I'll just use like Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts all season, even before he got Scherzer, had the ability to go, yeah, I'm going to put him in the lineup. No, I'm going to pitch this guy because they had so much talent. And once the trade deadline came and went, Snit had that ability to mix and mingle parts. And boy, did he ever.
Right.
So I totally agree with you. The two guys that I absolutely think should get the most credit, one, Double A, because he had to make the moves, and then two, Brian Snicker for pushing all the right buttons.
And again, you guys have seen some of the articles have been written. And again, Dave O'Brien's written about it before, but I thought it was really cool for Brian Snicker at the greatest moment of his baseball life. Who does he think about? He thinks about his wife, the wife that was with him, as he says, dragging her all around the Southeast as he was. Again, he's a lifer, as you said, he's a lifer in the organization. But he talked about his wife, Ronnie, and the sacrifices she made. I mean, like, it's a hell of a story. It would be like for Dusty. I think Dusty wins. He's definitely going in the Hall of Fame. But we want to keep that off, out. That's a them problem. But I mean, I think you could definitely make cases for both these managers are such good dudes. But obviously, we're pulling for Snit.
Yeah, and here's the other thing.
What was that, Skipper? One more time.
Here's the other thing, though. We are doing this, and I'm not making this political. I just want to say, it's kind of cool. We're doing this in a year where we lost the legendary Henry Aaron. And from that standpoint, okay, just that alone and Snicker and what Henry Aaron meant to Snit,
right?
You know, when we had his service, his public service, and you guys got a chance to see that play out and you understood the relationship and how they operated and what Henry Aaron did for so many people. And here we are going back to a World Series in a year that we lost him. I just think, Mike, you can say, you know, all the things. That's just kind of cool. It's just really cool.
Yeah, and I know that a guy that, as we said, you know, who's let's be honest, Carl, Alex Anthopoulos, and I know that we go round and round with some listeners about it, but the Braves just don't get to spend the way other teams do. But you said it, Alex Anthopoulos with all the right moves at the trade deadline. Remember, we didn't even get to see you know, Eddie Rosario for the first month when he got here. You and I were like, well, what's that about, right? It's like damaged goods? No, the guy is only like the most clutch performer we've ever seen in this in a Braves uniform as far as batting average through this NLCS. So everybody has contributed. It's just, again, the bullpen, you know, yeah, a few hiccups here and there, but they've been doing the job, and you're going to be leaning on the bullpen again. Get in this series.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're going to the series, man. And the Astros, by the way, this won't be easy. I mean, the Dodgers weren't easy. This won't be easy. That is a really good ball club. We know that. But so are we.
Yes.
So are we. You know, we shouldn't be afraid or, you know, having any kind of trepidation, Mike, about what this might be. Guys, did you see what the bullpen did the other night, Mike?
Right.
Did you see how good the bullpen was to shut the Dodgers out?
Yeah, and again, the Dodgers, I mean, anybody's going to go into that narrative about the injuries, please. Nobody's had more injuries and loss. Like when I'm Ronald Acuna, and look, when you've got as much payroll as those guys, you're just replacing one star with another star. I mean, they got David Price. We can put him back on the roster, right? So cry me a river with that Dodger nonsense. But yeah, man, the Braves, 40-21, guys, since the All-Star break. That includes these playoff games. So there's been teams that have done it before. You know, that have had a losing record, the 91 Braves, and then it got hot, of course, and beating, you know, the Dodgers out. The Mets did it in 73, and I wasn't around for the 64 Cardinals. But these are all teams that were under 500 at the All-Star break and got hot at the right time. Carl, we see it in hockey. You see it sometimes.
Yes.
More in hockey than the other sports, but a team that gets hot and gets on a heater, and that's what the Braves are on right now.
So it feels good, and we have every right to feel as good as we do, and we'll see how this series plays out. But cherish the moment, man. Take it in. If you haven't, if you've just already rushed to the World Series and you want to see what, just take this in for a minute. Because, again, it's been 22 years. There are people who have grown up who've pretty much said, well, you know what, Braves, they're in it, but they never really do anything. Now they have. Now they've gotten there. So this is a really cool moment for our team. Now, it is a Falcon Monday here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, of course, Mike just mentioned he was down at the game yesterday, and what a game it was. And we're going to split plenty of time between the Braves and the Falcons today. But, Mike, I want it now. I want it now.
It was so funny because I'm sitting. You saw some of the pictures I posted on Twitter. I had unbelievable seats, man. I really lucked out. I was right on the 40-yard line at club level front row. And, you know, you can see the reactions on the Falcon bench. You know, and you saw the Dolphins. Remember, the Dolphins went right down the field that first drive. If you're watching the game, you're thinking, this is going to be a long afternoon, right, in South Florida. And then we just keep chipping away. And finally, we find some things that work. And, you know, kind of, okay, let's go to this. Let's pivot to that. Well, one of the guys that got the ball in the hands of is Kyle Pitts. And the key drive. This is now three games we've won because of Kyle Pitts, Carl, and those big drives. The big play, which just breaks the back of the Dolphins. You know, and okay, we're going to eat clock. We can kick a field goal and win it. But Kyle Pitts, 7 for 163. Didn't get in the end zone, but, man, was he a game maker and breaker.
Well, and this gets back to, and I want to live in the present. I don't want to live in the past. But you remember, if you've listened to our show long enough, you guys know Mike and I used to say, and I still do, I live by this. If a guy's good enough, I don't care how many guys are trying to cover him. Throw it to him. Let him make a play. The throw from Matt Ryan down the sideline yesterday with the safety coming over the top, just lays it in there, and guess what? Kyle Pitts makes a play. Those are the kind of things that we used to say about a guy that used to be here. Just throw it to him.
Right.
Just give him a chance if he's that talented. And we see now that Kyle Pitts is that talented. And, Mike, the thing for me is we didn't rush this. I want it now, and I'm going to continue to say that because this is what I thought we were getting. What you're seeing over the last 3 weeks, what Mike just talked about, is what I thought we were getting when we drafted him. What criticism we got and our city got, oh, who takes a tight end at 4? Kiss our butts, because you can see now what's happening with this move and how this kid, he's 21, how he's going to develop, Mike, into a superstar right. in this league.
It was funny because I was listening to the Dolphin pregame because they were piping in the stadium, and they were talking about, and this Kyle Pitts, I don't know, we got a guy that can cover this guy. And they were exactly right. Joe Rose, the former Dolphin, was talking about it. And then they said, and they got this secret weapon, this Cordarrelle Patterson, which, again, he did it in the run game. You know, he had a bunch of big, giant, physical runs. We will talk, though. There's a question. I know we got in the end zone, but strange day and for Calvin Ridley yesterday down in South Florida. But, hey, Falcons win, Braves win. Georgia's number one in the country. It's a good weekend.
Oh, man. Doesn't it feel good? Doesn't it? Just take it in for a minute.
Yeah.
It's Monday. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get to some headlines next. It is Dukes and Bell on a Falcon Monday. Coming up, 6 o'clock tonight, the Coaches Show with Dave Archer and the player segment, Jalen Hawkins, who had another interception, by the way, yesterday, and our Falcon win. And, guys, Falcons are .500. And, you know, this is where you want to be. Now, when I say that, considering the way the season started, obviously you'd love to be in the position of being undefeated like the Arizona Cardinals. That's not the case. But that's not the case for a lot of teams. And, Mike, this team has fought its way back to .500. And now coming in next Sunday at home, you've got a Carolina team that's reeling because they just benched Sam Darnold.
Yeah, and now they're in the mix for Deshaun Watson. Again, if you believe what you read about these old rumors that are flying around. But, yeah, man, and I know because it was a strange week this with injuries and the buys for a number of big star players. I guess who I had as quarterback this week?
Who's that?
Sam Darnold.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, I mean, I nothing I can do. I mean, we're in a 14-team league. Josh Allen was gone. So, anyway, yes, I know firsthand. And Carolina, yeah, not good. Carolina gets smoked, so we get them coming to town. So, again, and I know that people woulda, coulda, shoulda. We should have beaten Washington. We let those guys off the hook. But, hey, man, we are .500. And I know you said double-digit wins. I'm going to stick with 8. But this team, you're seeing things. Again, they're limited, Carl, by what they have on defense. They don't have a lot of stars on defense.
Right.
But they grind and they grind. And on offense, we're getting better. We're scoring 30 points. Matt's going for 300 yards again. I mean, but it matters now. You know, it's not pad statting. He's winning the games with these throws.
It's true. And the throws at the end of yesterday's game were the biggest throws of the day. When you talk about a 23-yard to 28-yard reception to Kyle Pitts to set you up for the game winner, those are huge, man. And, you know, I know Matt had fumbled prior to that. He even talks about it. We'll let you hear it coming up at 5 o'clock. Right after the game, he's like, look, I fumbled, but, you know, we were able to put ourselves in position. And I always say it, when it matters most, I don't care what you've done the entire game. You could be horrible. But when it comes down to it,
Do you win the game? Do you make the plays that need to be made? And to me, Mike, that's what this was about yesterday. We needed Matt in that last drive. Make some plays. Kyle Pitts, step up. And then, Mike, we run the ball three times to run out the clock.
Right. And I know, I was like, I know we don't want to get too conservative, but that's the way you finish the game, man. Perfect clock management from Arthur Smith. The Falcons, and Carl just alluded to it, the throws to Kyle Pitts. It just seemed like the Dolphins couldn't cover him. You know, when we fumbled and Miami is crawling back and they take the one-point lead, you're like, oh, boy. You know, I've seen this story before. But again, resiliency, guys. Nine plays, 57 yards, as we said, eating the clock. You know that Younghoe Koo, even after the penalty, moves him back 5 yards. Younghoe Koo is a money guy. That's why he's a Pro Bowl caliber kicker. So I even took a picture. There was a guy wearing a Koo jersey at the game. How about that?
Koo!
I was like, wow, I've never seen that. But yeah, man, it was a fun game to watch. I mean, I love that stadium. I know some people can take it or leave it, but it's a great vibe down there. And then, Carl, the one thing which I'll get your take on, because you're watching on TV, what did you think of Calvin Ridley's day? He took a big shot. He got hit. He had his hand on a ball. The DB just comes around and rips it right out of his hand, and that's the interception. It was a strange day for Calvin Ridley, to put it mildly, but he did get in the end zone, scores.
Yeah, Mike, 10 targets, 4 balls caught. He catches the touchdown, to your point, which, you know, again, we want touchdowns at the end of the right. day, but it was a strange day, and I don't know if that hit affected him more than maybe we assumed it did. Because he did get rocked on that particular play. But it was weird simply because he got the amount of targets that he needs. I mean, we're still talking, we're throwing the ball to Calvin 10, 12, in some cases 15 times a game because he needs to make plays. And it's one of those things where somebody even said to me, I want to see some of those touches go to Kyle now. Well, listen, you got to balance it out. And here's the cool thing about what happened yesterday. You know, you talk about Matt Ryan, 9 different receivers
right.
caught passes yesterday. That keeps teams on guard. You don't know where I'm going. You don't know when I'm going there. And, Mike, I'd rather see that. I mean, Gage catches the 49-yard touchdown, and you go, wow, okay. You might have thought that might be Calvin Ridley. So I don't think you start going away from him, but it was a curious day. I do agree with you on that.
Yeah, and I know that on defense, just as they struggled with our super athletic tight end, Kyle Pitts, the guy's good old-fashioned tight end, Mike Gesicki, they couldn't really get a handle on him. And he was drawing coverage from linebackers that just couldn't get there. Tough day for Debo. I mean, there was a couple plays where Deion Jones got kind of faked out of his jock, but we persevered. And the other thing is, watching Tua, Carl, he makes all the plays until he doesn't. You know what I mean? He's got to be
mistake prone.
He's exasperating if you're a Dolphins, talking to a bunch of Dolphin fans around me, because a guy can look like a world beater 1 minute and then he just throws a terrible pick. I mean, a pick a pro can't make.
Yeah, he is the part that, and guys, by the way, for all you Dolphin fans, all right, not rubbing it in, but you see why
right.
there's concern. I mean, you know, the two interceptions, they were bad picks, Mike. Those weren't a corner making a great play or a safety. Jalen Hawkins, he throws it right to him.
Exactly. And it just takes all the air out of the balloon, you know. So the Dolphins, you know, they rally back. You know, the Falcons, I thought, just looked so good in the second quarter. And again, it was just a good game. And I know that, you know, we're wondering what this team's going to look like this season with the limitations of the budget, with the salary cap. We don't have a lot of, as I said, don't have a lot of playmakers. So we're going to be scoring, I guess we'll have to score 30 points a lot, Carl, to win more of these games this season.
Well, I'll tell you this, doing that will get fans excited because offense matters, and it's why we got excited a year we go to the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not making that correlation.
Right.
What I'm telling you is, if that's how we have to win games, 38, 30, 36, 33, right. so be it. I'm fine with that because, to me, those are exciting games. Yesterday went from being, like you said, this is really interesting. We handled our business, though, man. Braves in the World Series. We got a lot to talk about, guys. And as we mentioned, Coach's Show tonight at 6. We are also chasing some Braves folks. Now, all week long, and I can't tell you who and I can't tell you when, because this is one of those weeks where everybody's schedules are crazy and people are running around the country. But I will tell you, stay tuned. Every day, 2 to 7, you just don't know who's going to stop by and talk baseball with us, or a former great Brave, or whatever's going to happen. So I'm just telling you right now, this is where you want to be, Dukes and Bell. Find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929, and this radio station, 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on, guys. We are on the gram and live on Twitch every day. Chris Turtle behind the glass. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins. Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
Oh, let's start with these Braves, baby. How about those Braves? How about this new outfield, man? I mean, Jock Peterson, you know, you talk about Duvall, Soler. Everybody that's been thrown out there in the outfield has gotten it done, but nobody got it done more. Nobody got it done better than Eddie Eddie Rosario, guys, 14 for 25, three home runs, a double, a triple, six RBI. Go ahead and give that man the MVP trophy. Oh, they already did. Freddie Freeman, what about this team?
I think this whole year showed what the word resilience means. I mean, from pretty much day one, you know, in the first month of the season, we lost, you know, Ozuna had his deal. You had Darno, we lost for 3 months. We lost Acuna. We were expecting Soroka to be in April. That, I mean, we just kept getting back up and just kept hitting punches back, you know, and I think that's just the collective whole as a unit that we have. It's just these guys after last year, you could just taste it, you know, and we let it get away, losing the 3-1 lead, and we came back and we had to deal with the questions, and we took that down real fast. And I think that's just the group we have, and that's the character we have.
Yeah, it was so much fun watching the Dodgers staring blankly out of their dugout as the Braves were all jumping around like 5-year-olds. Wasn't that great?
It was. It really was. That moment, man, where it sinks in for them that you're not repeating. And we had you on the ropes last year, didn't finish you, but we did this year. Get out of here. It's a great feeling, man.
Now, we've got Rosario, and I don't know how much of the Red Sox and Astros you got to watch, but that Yordan Alvarez, holy shnikes, he's as hot for them as Rosario is for us right now.
He is. This is a good lineup, man. I mean, they hit without trash cans. I'm not going to go there. But they are a slugging team, and you saw that in this Red Sox series with the Astros, man. And their pitching is good. Their bullpen, hell, they're in the World Series, guys. Hey, they're good.
Now, the thing is, when you come in the National League, they're going to have to hit him out there, but he's kind of a butcher in the field. He's better as a DH. Now, conversely, we've been kind of bellyaching, man, there's so many great hitters on our bench. Now we're going to get to use them. Be curious to see how Snicker's going to use a designated hitter in at least the first two games down in Houston.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mike. I mean, you've got options, though, right? With the way the bench works out now, right. You can go a variety of ways, and I'm not going to tell you there's a wrong way. We'll see how Snit does this, but I got to sit back and trust him because he's pushed all the right buttons. And I got to tell you, I don't know what time the party stopped Saturday, but I texted multiple people in the organization, some players, some people. I got text messages, Mike, back at like 4:35 in the morning. I was like, are you serious? I don't know how long that party lasted,
hey,
but guys were getting it in, let me tell you.
Yeah, I mean, it's 22 years, 99 was the last time. It was so overdue. And again, you heard what Freddie just said. Look, they were aware of it. The media was asking the questions. It's human nature. Is it going to creep in the doubt? No, they squashed it. And again, Snicker pulling Ian Anderson to get the pinch hitter. Pinch hitter gets on base, and then boom, you get the three-run homer and Rosario, man. It just, everything clicked. Everything worked in this series. And again, and I also heard an interview with Luke Jackson, and Luke saying some things that make you feel for that guy, too, you know, because obviously he was wearing a black hat after blowing a save.
It's true, man. Hey, headlines brought to you by ATL Live Well. Low testosterone doesn't have to keep you down. Call ATL Live Well today. Don't just live, live well. Let's hear from Arthur Smith after the Falcons go down to Miami and win.
Yeah, it was. You got to give the Dolphins a lot of credit. I know this. Brian Flores is a heck of a coach. We knew that there was going to be a heavyweight fight down here. And what you're seeing is our guys have a strong, strong mindset. Just give us a ball with a chance. You know, everybody made plays. There's going to be plenty to clean up. We know that. But we're excited to get out here with a win.
Yeah, boy, exactly what we said. There's things on defense they got to tighten up, but hey, there's definitely a direction here, Carl. You know, how many last few seasons by Halloween we feel aimless as Falcon fans, right?
Yeah.
Not this year.
No, man. I feel like we're picking up momentum. I mean, call me crazy. Listen, I don't think we're the best team in the league. That we're not that. But I do feel like some of the things we were questioning are starting to click. Some of the things, especially on offense. And the whole Kyle Pitts thing, what did Coach tell us 3 weeks ago? Be patient. Stop with the hot takes. He wasn't talking to us. He was talking about the national folks. Said, oh, Pitts isn't this, that, and the other. And all of a sudden now you've incorporated him 3 weeks in a row and he's been big. Hey, man.
I don't worry about players I never coached.
Thank you, Art. He'll be with us on Wednesdays, guys. 5 o'clock, Coach Art joins us. Hawks opening night was incredible, okay? Hawks blow doors on the Mavs. And I'm like, woo, this is awesome. Enjoyed the hell out of it. And then they come out and have no energy against the Cavs. Listen to Nate McMillan.
You know, I thought they outworked us. I thought they were the aggressive team, you know, throughout the game, the first half. You know, even though we was playing at a quick tempo, we only had 4 free throws. You know, so I thought we were settling in that first half as opposed to getting more penetration towards the basket.
Yeah, it was a letdown. That was kind of hard to get your head around that game, wasn't it?
It was, Mike.
I can't lie to you. I only saw the highlights when I first saw the score on my phone.
I was like,
what the deuce, right?
Yeah, I didn't see it at all. I saw the score, and when I saw the final score, I was like, what happened? Because I was like, what's the deal? We weren't around. We weren't in town, and I was like, what's going on? Either way, guys, Hawks, come on, man. I mean, that's a bad Cavs team. And here's the deal. You're coming off the Eastern Conference Finals. I know there are going to be nights, Mike, where teams, you just don't have it and you're going to lose. But to be outworked, to not be up for the game, that shouldn't be happening.
Coach Nate Foot in people's butts this
yes,
week.
I'm with you, bro. Hey, man, we got plenty more to get to. NFL Blitz is on the way. Lots going on, but it's all about the Braves getting to the World Series, man. And we're going to talk more about it when we come back, because the last time they were there, there were familiar names. This time, not so much.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, man. I mean, that moment, just special. And you talk about Mike Rosario in that particular, you know, at bat. And if you go back, guys, I mean, the fouling off pitches and just battling, as guys will say in baseball, to stay alive. And then, Mike, to deliver in that moment. How big was that, man? How big?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about, you and I think when we last spoke, because you were off on Friday, was how confident were you in Ian Anderson? And he actually did the job. But then again, we said he had to go with the pinch hitter because he was trying to create the big inning. And you know, I know that sometimes I get frustrated. We don't just bunt a guy over and play a little small ball. But he goes for the big inning, and the strategy pays off, man. It's a bold move, going with the pinch hitter.
Yeah, it really was. And I just think, you know, in that moment when you talk about the bottom of the fourth,
right,
where it's 1-1 and then Rosario, you know, goes deep. That was it. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, okay, the Dodgers have shown the ability to come back. But then we get to the moment that I thought really was the moment. And that was when Tyler Matzek came in and worked out of that jam. I mean, I don't know if anybody else, just to be honest with you guys about, you know, pitchers in the postseason and that moment and the headspace that you need to be in to come in and deliver the way Matzek did, Mike, to get out of that jam. And then Minter, too. I mean, Minter pitched a couple of innings. Those two guys, I don't even know what to do. They're going to get game balls here coming up, but I don't even know what to say about them.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was a lot of stuff that was going on there. And then we talked about, you know, I just thought, you know, the poise that you talked about the bullpen, the poise from Matzek. We talked about, you know, Luke Jackson and, you know, guys, you know, all the stuff he's gone through. But, you know, the big question mark for you and I all the way back to the All-Star break was, is Will Smith the guy you're going to be able to trust, right? And how many people still get a little nervous? Will Smith handles his business. Struck out in an amazing ground out where Dansby comes up. I mean, that was a beautiful defensive play, too, to end the game.
Yeah, it really was. Matzek comes in, guys, top of the seventh inning, strikes out Pujols, right? Strikes out all three, actually, as a matter of fact. Three strikeouts. Betts was the last one in that inning. And then
Luke,
comes
Yeah, Luke, it was a Taylor doubled, Bellinger walked. That's what he inherited.
That's right. Correct. And then struck out the three guys he faced. Comes back in the top of the eighth inning, gets Seager out, and then, you know, single, I believe it was, who was that? Oh, Turner grounds out to third,
yep.
And then Smith grounded out to third. It gets out. That was the moment to me, Mike. Those six outs could have turned this game around, and he just, he stayed with it. It was
now,
great.
I was saying how, you know, Luke Jackson said some nice things in the celebration, you know, realizing the kind of stuff he had gotten into, but he got into a little jam again. So my question is, are you having doubts about Luke now in these moments? Because you're going to have to lean on him again, especially if we're going to do a bullpen star probably for game four.
Yeah, your two most trustworthy relievers are Matzik and Minter, period. Period. And I, you know, even though it's not been the norm, but you're in the World Series now. Nothing's the norm. You could have a starting pitcher close out a game if you needed be. But I would tell you that in my most high leverage situations, whatever that might be, two on, Astros best hitter up, Carrera, who pick your guy. It doesn't matter. I want Matzik or Minter facing them. That's what I feel right now. So, you know, we go through these stretches during the season. And Luke had a great stretch where he was the best reliever and was pitching efficiently. But right now, at the end of the season, there's something there that tells me I'm a little wobbly. I'm a little weary. So I'm curious to see what Snit does and whether he goes, you know what? Trusted him all season, Mike. I'm going to go with him and rolls him out there again.
Right. And again, the Dodger lineup, and look, this Dodger team, even with all the injuries and things they were complaining about, they still got a ton of guys, one through nine. We're going to see the same thing now, especially in Houston with the designated hitter. And the good news, as we said earlier, we'll be curious to see how they use, I don't know, Dunn, Soler, how we're going to, you know, who's going to be the designated hitter on this team. By the way, Adrianza was the pinch hitter. I keep saying the pinch hitter. I had to go look at the box score. But Adrianza was the guy that they went with. And it was just, I mean, it was big. Again, I'm harping on it, but Jimmy Carl, that was the biggest moment. And then Rosario, this guy can't miss right now. I mean,
it's good.
This is a I mean, and it's always, you know, it's funny. It's always for the Braves, like years ago, it's like Jeff Blauser got on a heater. You never know. But who saw this thing coming when we got Rosario and he wasn't even able to play the first month?
Nobody.
If I told you this was going to be the guy that we're going to ride on his back to the World Series.
Yeah, no, nobody. And that gets me back to the familiarity of this team compared to the last time with the World Series. For me, okay, in 99, to date myself, I got a chance to cover this World Series. I'm doing some work for MLB at the time, and that was the Chipper Andrew Jones team, right? But you also had the three greats. You had Smoltz, you had Maddox, and you had Glavin. I mean, Eddie Perez was the MVP of the NLCS, I believe, at the time, Mike, going to the World Series. There was name value, meaning those Braves, you knew who they were. Outside of Freddie Freeman, and you guys know Acuña for life for me. I still think, you know, when he comes back, as special as he is in 5-tool, but outside of Freddie Freeman, if you go around the country and you start saying, hey, this guy, who a team does he play for? And I showed you, I don't know how many people would say, oh, yeah, he's a Brave. Oh, yeah, I know him. The familiarity of this team versus the last time with the World Series, it's completely different, which is fine, but I'm saying that alone, Mike, makes this completely different than, you know, Kevin Millwood being on a team or Chipper or Andrew. Guys, you said, oh, yeah, I know who they are, and they play for the Braves.
But again, it's so funny. This is a season where, as the season wound down, you and I were joking around, hey, maybe we'll do six-man rotation. Well, we barely have 3.5 starters, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And, you know, and now you lose Hinoa again. So it's funny. There was such a wealth of pitching. You go back to those years, like the late 90s and early 2000s. They had, like, so many pitchers. They'd have, like, a 17 or 18-game guy not even on the roster. Right, but that's how much pitching the Braves had. We could use some of that right about now. Denny Nagel. There was always a guy. You know,
you're
what I mean?
Right.
But you got like four 20-game winners. We can't, or whatever it was. You can't use them all. Yeah, we could certainly take a guy on loan. But the good news is, though, the bullpen. Like I said, aside from a little nervousness with Luke Jackson, bullpen's doing a fantastic job. And Minter. You know, Minter was a guy that, I mean, he was like this close to being like, you know, almost, you and I were like, what are we going to do with him? Remember in the middle of the season?
Yeah.
Boy, Minter found his, I mean, pardon the pun, found his fastball.
No, he really has. And boy, did we need it. I mean, you talk about timing. This was the time. But, you know, for the Astros, they kind of been here. This is where they've been living. For the last 5 years, they've been here. They've been in the ALCS or the World Series. And so Bregman, Altuve, Carrera, all these guys, this is where they've been. So, Mike, that's what I'm talking about. Whether you like them or not, and I know most of the country doesn't because of what happened, the fact is the core of the group for them, just like our young core we talk about, you know, this is where they've been. So that's the difference right now, is most people know this Astros team, win or lose, that they've been kind of in the World Series or around it, and here we come now. And we're not supposed to be here because the Dodgers and everybody else are supposed to be better than us.
There was a dude that I was sitting next to on the flight down to Fort Lauderdale. His name is Alan. He's originally from Atlanta. He lives now in South Florida. He was asking me, he goes, why do, and he's aware of the same thing you and I always talk about, the treatment Atlanta gets in the national media.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, he goes, do you feel, I told him what I did for a living. And I said, I don't know. I said, you know, the All-Star game, I said, the whole voting thing, everybody kind of, and I'm not rehashing that whole thing, but I just wonder if that taints how some of the people cover us. They're rooting against us. As if somehow the Braves are responsible for that, which they're not, obviously, right? Right? I mean, they were just caught in the crossfire of that whole situation. But to lose the All-Star game, and now you're going to have to watch the Braves for at least maybe six more games in Atlanta. But I don't know. I do sometimes get the feeling that, you know, they do forget, they like to forget about us here.
Yeah. I think we had all those years, and I say, you know, you're going back to the 90s, right? Guys, it'll never be done again. No team. We've won it 4 years in a row. Four. Braves won it 14 years in a row, the division.
Right.
It's never been done. So when you do that year after year after year after year, and you're in the playoffs, there becomes this fatigue. We talk about the SEC fatigue. There was a Braves fatigue nationally for a while because you just figured they were going to be in the playoffs. They had all the great pitching, and they were going to be there. But I do feel like you're right, Mike, because this team is turned over. The management's turned over. It's a new organization, to be quite honest with you.
Right.
And I do think that we don't necessarily, we're not on the radar. We weren't this year. Think about it. Everybody was talking about everybody else except us.
Right. It's a sum of its parts team. It's like when those, you know, I don't want to compare us to the Marlins, but like when the Marlins would come out of nowhere. That's kind of what the Braves did this year. Although, again, to be down, to be all those, think about all those weeks we couldn't get to 500. You and I would be lamenting that on the show, right? Win one, lose one. Win one, lose one. And now, obviously, they're the hottest team in baseball.
All right, man. We got plenty more coming up. We're going to go around the NFL. Hey, Braves are in the World Series, but our Falcons win yesterday in a big win on the road against the Dolphins. We'll hear from Kyle Pitts coming up on Dukes and Bell.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.